Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Sophia Washington. I am a student at Aya Educational Institute, and the project-based learning assignment for this year is we are creating a handbook for Black student leaders. We are interviewing people, as you know, on 20 qualities that we have identified as key. The 10 that we'll be working on today are creativity, emotional literacy, identity, balance, order, goal setting, character, sustainability, resolving conflict, and statement. For the
So,
purposes of
you want me to talk about, you're going to be interviewing me on all those topics?
No, for the purposes of this interview, we ask that you speak on three of these topics and answer some of the questions, such as what are these qualities to you? Why do you think some of these things are important to student leaders? You know, what type of experience you have with these qualities, pros and cons of having these qualities.
I see. Okay.
So, do you need me to recite the list again, or do you know the moment that we're talking?
I'm sorry. What are you asking me?
Do you need me to recite the list of qualities again, or do you know which one you want to start with?
Oh, so you want me to choose which ones I want to talk about?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you've given me creativity, risk-taking, conflict resolution, sustainability, character, goal setting, order, balance, identity, and emotional literacy.
Yes.
Okay, I would like to talk about one, identity, character, and creativity. So I'm not sure I'm going to remember them, so you'll have to, kind of prod me as we move from one to the next, okay?
Sure. So, what have your experiences been with identity? What struggles have you faced trying to develop your own identity?
Well, to me, identity is very important for developing your understanding of who you are, first of all, and then who you are in relation to everybody else. And I think a good leader has to have a strong identity. Without a strong identity, they can be moved by all the wi every wind of change that blows, and therefore their leadership becomes very fragmented and disoriented. For me, identity is really formed early in your early years of life. By the time, technically, by the time we're 6 year old, our personality is set. If I'm not mistaken, I think by the time we're 12, we're pretty clear on our identity. I think for black leadership, it's important that we as elders ensure that our young people have an identity of a true African identity, let me put it like that. Because growing up in this country, in the United States of America, the only identity that you're ever really given is that you're a product of ex-slaves or of slaves, you're ex-slaves. And therefore, that means, as far as society is concerned, that you should be satisfied with a certain place in its in that particular enslaving society. And with that satisfaction come should come well will come a certain identity that doesn't allow for leadership. It allows for servitude. So to me, one of the reasons why I'm really into nation conscious education is because it's necessary that we Black people have that education very early on in life to establish our identity as not children or descendants of slaves, because slavery is like, I think, one less than 4,000 years. What is that? Almost 1/1,000th of the legacy and the history of our people, of our race, of our racial identity. And the racial identity is critical, particularly in a society where race makes all the difference in the world. So if you don't have a strong racial identity, you're going to wind up, you know, identifying with things, people, concepts, and ideals that are an antithesis to your very being. I was in that condition for years, and I only got out of that condition after I went to college. So that means I went to college late. I went at 21. So at 21, I was assigned at Howard University to a work study job. I had a work study job, and my job was to help Dr. Chancellor Williams get his book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, from the handwritten stage to a first draft galley for printing. And that was what I did for a whole year. I worked with him. I would come to his home after classes, and he would give me what he had written for the day. And my job was on those little typewriters, not these computerized ones like you have now, but on the, I call it the pluck and plink typewriter, type out that first draft and make it galley ready. But as a result of that process, I came to better appreciate and to really understand and know my racial identity and the grandeur and the glory of our people and of the African blood. And it transformed my life. And I always wonder, as I look back now, I say to myself, what kind of a person would I have been if I had had this information when I was 8 or 9 or 10? If I had had that understanding that I got through working with Dr. Williams, if I had got that understanding when I was a little kid, I would probably be the first Black woman president by now. But I don't know. So that's one of the things I think about identity. Identity is critical for us to be leaders.
So for the people who don't have jobs, you know, working with people like Dr. Chancellor Williams, how do you think we can affect them and sort of mold or create a path where we can, I don't know, better shape some of the identities of our people?
The first thing I think that I, working with him and in my life work, and then developing and applying the concepts that I got from him to my personal life, and then passing that on, is the need to, first of all, gently counteract a lot of concepts that I hear our young people, you know, talking about, and just very unconsciously saying things like, he or she has good hair. You know, I say, what do you mean good hair? You mean hair like mine? And they look and say, oh no, she got good hair. I said, oh, my hair is not good. I said, but my hair is like your hair. And your hair is not good. You know, so I would kind of prompt them through the concept that, you know, good hair is not necessarily straight hair or wavy hair or curly hair. Good hair is hair that God has blessed you with. Giving that to young people, those kind of concepts of their self-worth. I remember my son was a little boy. He came home from school, and he said to me, Mommy, he said, my friend's laughing at me because they say I have big lips. And so I looked at him, I said, yes, you do. You have wonderful big lips. And I kissed him on his big lips. I said, you have the lips of God. I said, and the next time your friends tell you you have big lips, say, yes, I have the lips of God. Now, I don't know if you ever did it, but I do know that I never heard him talk anymore about anybody telling him he had big lips. And the point behind me telling him to tell them that was that you were made in the image of God, because I trained him, or raised him up in a Christian background. And very early on, I had a little program with the neighborhood children where I presented Bible characters to them as black people, not as the white people that young people get and they go in these Christian churches. So everything in the Old Testament, all those Old Testament stories, they were presented to them as Abraham and Isaac and all the people as black people, which they were, and not as the white people that you normally get presented. So when I told them, you're made in the image of God, and therefore, yes, you have big lips, because God would have big lips. God wouldn't have no teeny weeny slits in his face that nobody can see and that don't move, but you can still hear a voice. God has big lips because he needed those big lips to create this universe, this earth, this planet. So developing positive self-image, that's one of the first things that I feel a person that's working with young blacks to try to help them develop leadership is to help them to appreciate and love what they have and who they are.
And do you think, towards going down this path, is there anything that we should avoid, or things that, you know, might come into play that we might have to maneuver around, take heed to?
Well, I think one of the things that you should avoid when you're dealing with developing identity is one thing I always tell my young people, you know, you don't let someone else determine who your enemy is. You determine who your own enemy is. The other thing I say to them is that, you know, don't spend time looking at people from a negative standpoint. Everyone that crosses your path, you're going to have reactions to them. Some are going to be not positive. But when you find yourself feeling or having a negative reaction to someone, look for something positive in that person, because everyone has something positive about them that you can relate to. And bring that to the forefront of your mind, and then work with that person from that positive perspective that you were able to find and ferret out about them. Don't allow yourself to be swayed by other people's emotions. If you don't feel that that's funny, then you have to say, you know, I'm not comfortable with it, or I don't see the humor in that. If you feel that something should not be done, you should be able to say that and not get in a fight, but just say, you know, I'm just not there. And if it looks like it's going to be a fight, then you just need to just remove yourself from the situation. You can't always make people go away, but you sure can lead. Don't be disrespectful. Even the crack addict on the street can tell you something positive that you can use for yourself. Don't be disrespectful to even the lowest person, and certainly don't disrespect your elders, even when your elders are disrespecting you. But it is important to learn how to respect people. I see people, young people, old people, doing things to other people that if they thought about it, they'd be outraged if someone had done that to them. But they just go on as if it's no big deal. Don't be afraid to admit that you have made a mistake or you are wrong, and then fix it as best as you can. Don't see how many don'ts has that been so far? only three. Let me see what else I think young people, good leaders should do. And be respectful. Don't allow jealousy and fear to enter into your spirit. My mom used to always tell us when we did something good, she'd say, "You did very good," or "You're good." She said, "But always remember, there's somebody that was not as good as you, and there's somebody out there that's better than you in terms of, you know, whatever you're doing, not better than you, who you are." So never, you know, don't allow a lot of pride to take over your spirit. A lot of times when we have young black leaders, they get kind of taken away by the roar of the crowd, the, you know, all the adulation that comes to them. And they forget that, you know, they really ain't all that in a bag of chips when all the smoke clears, you know. The Bible says, you know, pride comes before a fall. You know, all that pride you have, you walk around false pride, it can take you down. So keep a humble spirit. Don't allow yourself to get puffed up with you. And don't forget that leadership is a service. It is not a privilege. It's not a right, a divine right. It's a service. When you agree to lead somebody or something, you're agreeing to provide one of the highest services that one can give to another human being. And you become not the master, but the servant of the people that you choose or you set out or you are asked to lead. So, you know, don't forget to do your homework. Don't forget to be prepared. Don't forget, if you don't know something, find out. Because if the question is asked and you don't know it, the answer is out there somewhere. So those are some of the don'ts I would say I would tell a young person.
Do you think that I genuinely in any way connect to the character of a leader?
That identity is what?
Connected to character.
Right. Write it for me. Connected to what?
I'm typing.
Okay. Yes. Identity and character are very much connected. You know, the Word of God, the Bible, well, the Word of my God, which is the Bible, tells us that even a child is known by his doings, whether they are good or whether they are evil. Character, as I think I mentioned to you earlier, we're told that character by educators and psychologists and all, that by the time you're 6 years old, your character is set, is pretty much developed. Then after that, we're kind of winging it. We're adding on and taking off. But basically, the base of your person, of your character, is set. If you don't have a good character, and some of the things I talked about, like false pride, being disrespectful, all those things are aspects of a person's character. But I think that identity should be the base upon which your character is built, and oftentimes is. If you don't have a good a sense of your identity, or if your identity is a very low one, your character is going to pretty much reflect that identity. If you identify yourself as, you know, a thug, you know, like that song that got one of the rapper things like, I'm a thug and I forget how it goes. I'm a thug and I like it and all that. I mean, if he has determined that his identity is a thug, then of course he's going to work to have his character reflect that identity. And so therefore he's going to say and do things that are characteristic of a quote thug unquote. It's the same with the person who identifies and says, well, you know, I am, or they're told, you are a prince. As a result of being a prince, there's certain things that he's not going to allow to be able to do, certain things that he understands that his character requires that he have. And if he doesn't understand and have it, those who are training him and leading him to go from princehood to kinghood, they know what they are and they will see that he gets them. But character is, after you're 9 or 10 years old, even though your personality and identity is set at 6, by the time you're 10, 11 years old, you're in a position to choose what kind of a character you're going to have, based on the identity that you have realized that you have or that has been given to you. You're either going to determine to have a good positive character or not so good negative character. But they definitely are related, and a good character, a good identity will mean a good character, and a good character will be a person with a good character, strong identity, will be a good leader if left undisturbed by the powers that be.
Can you hear me?
No, I didn't hear anything.
I said, how do people develop good character? What would you suggest?
Okay, I can't understand quite what you're saying, asking me. I think you're, okay, the question is, what would I suggest for the development of good character? I only have one suggestion for the development of good character, and that would be the development of a spiritual relationship with one's higher power. The way I feel that creativity ties into being a good leader is that you have to be that whole concept you hear people talking about, think out the box. That's what they're saying is, what they really mean is, be creative. Don't hamstring yourself with the tried and true, with the that's the always the way it's always been, with the well, we've never done it any other way. Creativity and leadership is saying, you know, this is what we want to do. How can it be done? How can we get the job done? By it, not any means necessary, but by every necessary means. That's my quote, by every necessary means. By any means necessary is not necessarily a good idea. But by every necessary means, which means that oftentimes there are things that can be done, ways that can be made that no one has thought about. Sometimes that creativity, genius will come directly from the leader himself. But it's important for a leader to surround himself or herself with good, solid counselors, people whose opinion you regard and you respect, and to whom you will go and take various issues. Because, and so creativity is, you know, using your own ideas and concepts about things, or developing new ways or different ways of doing things. Creativity also means learning and knowing how to reach out to the creative energies and forces in others around you, and use those forces and those energies to develop the goals that you as a leader are seeking to accomplish.
Right. Do you think, in a way, people can borderline and be too creative? Like, is there a way that we can overdo it, or is there a way that we should find the line?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Safiya.
Do you think there's anything we should avoid with this aspect of being creative? Like, is there a way to be too creative or go so outside of the box that, I don't know, we just fall off? Like, is there a time to draw the line?
Oh, I understand what you're asking now, but let me repeat it to make sure. You're asking me, in that concept of creativity, is there a line that should be drawn in the sand in terms of what one can say and do? Oh, okay. And of course, because creativity, like many other aspects of our being, can go in different directions. I mean, I'm sure you have, or maybe you haven't, but there are little kids, like a babysitter will be able to tell you that kids can be really creative. They can be very creative in terms of thinking of good things to do and then thinking of very bad things to do. So creativity in and of itself is a very neutral concept and ideology. But what you apply that creative energy to and how you use that creative energy can be a plus or a minus. So yes, to answer your question, creativity, there are boundaries of positive creativity and negative creativity. Negative creativity generally results in negative things. Things that deteriorate a person or group, or divides the group, or takes your group or the leaders places where you're not trying to go. That's kind of creativity. Or applying your ideas and creative ideas to things that illegal and immoral things. So yes, creativity can be used wrongly. A good leader, of course, with a strong identity, good character, is going to the energy that they will bring, that they come with as a result of their strong identity, as a result of their good character, is going to bring them to positive creative spiritual energy. So it'll never ever be an issue of anything negative. Oh, I think you did. Well, I'm just very glad I'm very pleased and proud that you considered interviewing me, and I appreciate, you know, you taking the time to do it. And I also think that you did an excellent job of moving me along from one idea, you know, and segueing from one idea and concept to another. And I really appreciated that, because, you know, sometimes we can get to talking and running our mouths and go on for too long and be too far off the field, you know, to get back in the game. But I think that I appreciate you keeping me, you know, bringing me back and focusing me. So I enjoyed the interview, and if ever again you need to do this, feel free to call me. And if you have friends who are also doing this kind of project, I'd be glad to talk with them also. So you have a good day. Oh, so now are we off the off the record now?
I think so.
So now we can talk like regular people, right? So how did you feel with your interview? How did it go for you on your end?
It was pretty cool for me. It wasn't that difficult.
It wasn't what?
It wasn't that difficult.
I got that. Yeah, I got that from you, that it wasn't difficult. Now, what about your note-taking? How did you do that, or did you do much of it?
I took notes in the text chat. I opened a text chat and took notes.
You took notes in the what?
I opened the text.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that yet, Safia, but so you took notes on your computer, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So is that something that can be viewed by all of us, or is that just for your own personal use?
I opened a private one. I mean, I could make it public, but I didn't.
No, you don't have to right now. I don't think that's the point. But you did have a mechanism for keeping it, taking your notes. Is that the same mechanism you're going to be using when you do your person-to-person?
I'm not sure yet. I know I can bring my laptop, so I might take notes on my laptop because I type faster than I write, so that might be the best thing.
You know, I wonder, I understand how that would be the best thing, but I was just wondering if that would be a plus or minus factor for your interviewee, and that might depend on the age of the person. Because I know for us elders, you know, we're more, you know, person to face-to-face, people-to-people types. Whereas you younger people, you know, you can relate to talking to someone while they're typing on their laptop. Whereas for me, I think initially at the beginning it would be a distraction for me, but I would adjust. But I don't know. I wonder how Baba Wakesa might feel about that. I'd like to hear his opinion. Maybe when he comes back, we'll get a chance to ask him about that. Or I'll ask him, you know, how that would work. I mean, to me, it makes sense that you say you type faster than you write. So, you know, that would be the best mechanism for you. But I wonder what kind of impact that would have on your interviewee. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we should ask him. But I definitely think that just like bringing both as an option, I can do it like that. Just have like a notebook with me and have my own computer and whichever one they prefer.
Oh, okay. So, let me see. I'm trying to figure out what else we might want to do. Why don't you spend a few minutes now, starting to write your, you know, starting a base writing of your, of the, of summation of our interview. So when Baba comes back, you can just give him a summary, not everything that was said, but just a summary of the interview. I think he would appreciate that. What do you think?
I can't do that for my notes. Because, like,
they're back.
Hello. Hey.
Yes, we just finished.
Good. Now, then take a break. take a 5-minute break. Okay. Stretch, reflect, okay. Get some water. Safia, get some water, breathe. And then, in those 5 minutes, we'll be back. And what I want Ama to be able to hear is your reflection, Safia. Unless you have already done it, have you already done your reflection, Safia, on the interview?
No, we were just talking about it when you came into the room.
Okay, great. So let's take a break, and Ama and I will be with you Did you also send that link to me, Mama Ma? That is that calendar. Let me
No,
that
I
schedule.
haven't even finished. I'm gonna do it right now. In my
Okay.
5 minute break, I'm not gonna break. I'm gonna do that.
Okay, great.
All right.
Right, folks. How time flies when you're having fun.
Well, it does that even when you're not. But fortunately for us, we are.
Okay, folks, let's make sure that you got the email. I got it, interview schedule, so let's check that. Just take care of the housekeeping. Huh? Oh, I see. It's an attachment. And I'm going to open it as a Google spreadsheet for myself and then save it. Okay, it's open for me. Let me know if it's open for you, please. Great. So, interviews. Well, the September 13th to November 11th. I got a question about November 13th to start writing. Is that what you've is that what this says, that or your first draft will be completed by the 13th? Is that it?
No, Safia, why don't you explain to Baba why we chose a couple days after the ending of the interviews?
We chose a couple of days after the interview because, so that is the day the first draft is going to be due because we had to write this up. Wait, let me pull it up. I'm talking off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's September 13th to November 11th in terms of the interviews. Here's a concern that I have, okay? I don't think that we need to just interview. I think we need to interview and we need to write, in terms of beginning to translate those notes such that we're doing both of those at the same time. And I think one will inform the other, even though it may not be. So the first draft, it needs to be a more in parallel. We can be clear that, particularly when you get into the, we can decide on November 13th that we'll stop all interviews on November 11th. And go with what we have at that point. But we should also have data, written material, during that time.
Well, one of the
Okay.
things that Mama Ma said the last time was that we were going to be writing as we did interviews. So the first draft, even though the first draft is technically between November 13th and November 30th, we're not just going off of notes. Like, we'll
Got
still
it.
have some written stuff.
Okay, got it. So literally you're going to begin to be writing. I got it. Good. All right. Then I'm clear. We'll keep this is a good start. Goes to the typesetter December 9th, and we hope to get something out here on the 21st. All right, so we're clear about that. I'm also aware that it is 12:15, and I would like to hear, Safiya. We'll make sure that you have your extra your time. How was that interview process for you first, Safiya? And then Mama Ma. I know you didn't type nothing to text.
You're still on the mic.
I'm not on the mic. Go ahead. You got it.
Okay, well, you're right, Aaron. But it was okay for me. It was that difficult. I started with the three questions you had in the letter, and because I wasn't really sure of what Mama and my aunt Jacqueline is, I let her pick the three topics you wanted to speak on, and went from there.
Say hi.
Little bubble cousin.
Put the microphone up to your mouth. Did you say hi?
Hello. Hey. Yeah. How you doing? What's up?
Where are we?
We're somebody's ever since trying to say hi. They were in a school.
Ain't that cute?
And so Sisai's been a student with ours, so they're just, I'm sure, huddled around Alma, trying to get some love and give some love. Safia, did you hear my last question? And that is, given that you asked her to speak on those things, and anticipating the audience that you're speaking to, were you able to do good follow-up questions to get the information in the various areas that we, you know, need identified? Like, did she give you stories or examples or any kind of activities? All right, so I get off the mic. So that was cool.
Yes, there were stories and examples from basically mine and her experiences with her mom.
Okay, I got another question. I miss him too. The other question is, what was difficult? What, if anything, was difficult?
It wasn't difficult.
No, I didn't hear it at all.
Oh.
I said, how was it for you, Mott, being interviewed?
Oh, I thought you were asking Safia.
I already answered. Safia answered. I'm now going to you as the interviewee, not as a teacher, but as an interviewee. How was that interview for you?
The interview went very well for me. I think Safia, you know, she came right through, came right in on it. Said this. Can you all hear me now?
I can hear.
Okay, she set the pace. You know, she dove right in after a little salutary interaction and began to ask me questions. The only thing that I was a little put off with was that she gave me a choice of the concepts that to discuss. But I think in her email that would have been sent to me, she would have already made those choices. But right, but that, since we were just doing this, you know, this is our, you know, our rough, what, a prequel, so to speak. So I went ahead and chose three things, and then we talked about them. She did excellent. She had excellent segueing skills. You know, she was able to move the conversation from one concept to the next, based on my responses. She did a very good job, I thought, and I'll be very interested to see her, you know, her writing on that.
Mo, excellent. All right, I know it's overtime, so here's what I want us to do. I want us to roll into appreciations. Right now, I think everybody knows what they're to do, you know, so I think everybody's clear about what's next in terms of the, what typically would be called homework, because everybody knows what's next in terms of this project. Also, let's, when we come together, Well, would you also put your telephone number in the text chat for Amma and your email address? If we need to change things, we can change them, folks. This is our project. We can hear you. If y'all say, I don't think this is right, or I think this is whatever, we need to make a change, then we can talk about that. And I want us to do that. So I'll start with appreciations. Amma, I really appreciate your making the effort to get here and your accounting for why you weren't. And you're asking the questions that will get you the clarity that you need. Safi, I really appreciate your preparation, your leadership. It's been wonderful to see you grow as a leader at IA Education Institute and in our community, and also to see you exercise that leadership by, you know, just taking care of business. So I appreciate that. Art, I know there was some difficulty this morning for you. I'm glad you were able to work and persevere over those, and also risk coming in from all the way from home, from there, not being in the office. Your presence is greatly, greatly appreciated. And I appreciate me for coming up with such an idea. I think I'm just excited about what these students will produce.
Well, Baba, I appreciate you also. And I appreciate, you know, this whole IA Education Institute. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, you know, learning how to and coming to appreciate and respect Safia and her skills and her talents. I'm looking forward to getting to know Amma better. And I'm glad that, you know, she was able to get her, you know, find where she was missing and get right on in it and not say, oh, well, it's too late. You know, she just kept on going. And I appreciate myself too. I'm glad that just in this interview and talking with Safia, I realized, you know, some really nice things about myself. So I appreciate it, and my history and the things that I have experienced. So it's been a wonderful experience today. And I'm looking forward to working with you all into the future.
All right, your turn, Safia and Amma.
I appreciate that I have the opportunity to do this entire project with people that see things the way that I've been raised to see things. And I am, like Baba Wakissa and Mama Ma'at said, I am also thankful for myself, and I appreciate the talent that I think I have very much. And I'm looking forward to getting to know Mama Aya Ma'at better. And I know that Safia is very talented, and I think that she could help me a lot with bettering the writing and helping me, because she has been helping me with my problems, and I really do like getting help from Safia, so I think she'll be a lot of help with that.
I appreciate Amma for working with me, for example, editing and learning the topic. I appreciate Amma for working for me and assisting to try to catch up.
All right, and Safia, we're going to work hard to get you a mic because I love to hear your voice, and I was able to make it out, but it was we want to be able to hear you good and strong the way you are, and I really appreciate you working through those computer difficulties to keep on talking and to keep on participating. All right, folks. Safi, you know what the rest of the schedule is. Please enjoy your lunch. If you need to take that extra time, you can tell Brother Balagoon to put it on my tab in terms of your being late. Thank you. Y'all take care. Please, Amma, get back in touch with me. Let me put my telephone number on it. We got to get a couple of, we need at least one, if not two, makeup sessions, okay?
Yes.
Well, you all have a day, and I'll see somebody, Safia, I think. I'll see you Thursday. And Amma, I'll be waiting to hear from you and or Baba Wakissa in terms of those makeup times, makeup sessions, all right?
Yes.
Okay, dear. Have a good day.